Podshow is pleased to bring you the following killer content direct from the all-new feature-rich podshow.com. Get it. Play it. Dig it.
We are not all created to look like a Barbie doll or a supermodel, and that's okay. And one thing that girls have to remember is that even if they did look like a Barbie doll while they were in their 20s, guess what? They're
not going to. We've been there, done that, Brenda.
Right.
You're right.
Even if you have that window of time where that's your gift, you're going to have a lot of other windows of time where you better find something else.
The DivaCast, number 39. 12 March 2007.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Very nice.
I practice.
You're good.
Darn good. Everybody, welcome to our show. We are the Divas. We are five fun, fabulous 40-something friends that get together and yak it up. So grab a glass of water.
Water. Or would... Yes, water or
You're
coffee.
Funny. You're so funny.
Your drink of choice.
Yes. Your beverage of choice.
Yes.
And hang out with us. I am Suzanne, the last time I checked.
Yes, I'm Sharon.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Amy, and we're missing Julie today, but she's...
It's a hockey game.
Oh, is that what she's doing?
Yeah.
She's at a hockey game.
Yeah.
And just remember, everybody, we believe inside every woman is a diva. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes,
it really
That's
is. It.
That's yeah. a good thing.
She's... Julie's going to a fight, and a hockey game broke out.
You're so funny.
So Suzanne's just back from her New Zealand trip. We missed you.
Do tell.
Yeah. We had the most wonderful time sailing on a friend's yacht in New Zealand. Doesn't that sound so glamorous?
That does sound glamorous.
It really does.
Yeah, except I only had two showers because...
Not so glamorous
so it wasn't
anymore.
That glamorous. Yeah. And as you can see, I'm sporting a few new friends on my lips. I have...
Yeah, she brought a few friends home.
Fever blisters. I counted them last night, and I counted 30.
Oh, it looks like
Yeah, little ones, and then they'll clump to. Oh. I know, and it's I know
from the sun.
Yeah, so I'm just I love the sun, but it doesn't love me. But let me tell you the wild thing that happened to me on the way over there. You are not going to believe this. I think I'm still in shock. Okay, so here we are. And we're catching a flight from Atlanta to LAX. And, we're traveling with our son, our 10-year-old son. So the way the seating arrangements worked out, we got one first-class seat and then two coach. Well, my husband and I typically will switch. We believe in reciprocity. If one of us gets first class, we'll switch halfway.
And, of course, you should go first.
I did. So about halfway through the flight, not even that, maybe a fourth of the way through the flight, I go back and coach. We leave my husband so he can have first class. I'm sitting in coach with my son. And very sudden onset, I start to feel really, really bad. And all I can fantasize about is laying down in the aisle and getting horizontal.
Oh my goodness.
I just started to feel like I was going to pass out, and I broke out in a cold sweat.
You should not be in coach. That's the problem.
You're allergic to coach.
That's it.
Diva Carey.
Yes.
I
cured
sister.
You. Don't do
Thank
that again.
You. Oh my
yes.
gosh.
We'll write a prescription.
Okay.
So
I crawl up, not really, but I make my way up to where my husband is. I lean over. He's on the aisle seat. And I said, honey, I don't feel well. You've got to get up. So he gets up. I slide in the seat, and while I'm still standing, the passenger in front of me who is seated, and he's about a 16-year-old, real cute, 6'5" boy. All of a sudden, this boy goes, oh my God! And I'm thinking, what is wrong with him? He stands up, and as he walks away, I realize that he has vomitus down his back. And then I realize it is I...
No.
And mind you, I had just eaten the first class meal.
That is just horrible.
The chicken divan that I thought was delightful.
So you kind of like passed out or something bizarre.
I had no idea. It's the first time in my life that I've ever spontaneously vomited, and I had no
combusted.
I combusted. I had no idea this was coming.
But you must have blacked out because you didn't even know it was yours until...
I had no idea. He's walking away and I'm thinking, what is wrong with that boy?
That's wild.
And then I realize he is wearing my vomit.
That is just horrible.
It is horrible.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So listen to this. So then...
But it sure does
Amy's,
make good
Amy's
fodder.
Holding on to her chair like she's going to like...
Does make good fodder for the diva cast.
So, I know. So listen to this. So my sweet husband, he gets major, major kudos for this. I know. You're gagging a little. My sweet husband. Now, mind you, just picture this. I bought a black turtleneck that was pretty brand new. And then I have little black velour bell bottoms on with a drawstring and my black clogs. Because when I travel, I want to be comfortable.
Sure.
You know, we're headed for this huge long trip to New Zealand, which is a 13-hour flight.
Without showers.
Right. So here I am in this black outfit. My husband is scraping the vomit off of me. And the flight attendants are looking like I am not touching her with a 10-foot pole. Okay, and so my husband's like, and all I am doing, I am barely conscious, truly, I'm barely conscious, and I'm leaning back in the seat, and I'm going, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
You're out of it.
I'm really feeling, like I'm only half there. And the boy of whom I vomited on is sitting next to his mother. She promptly turns around and she said to me, I hear you apologizing to everybody else, but I do not hear any apology going to my son. And he's the one who deserved it since you puked all over him.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh.
And then as I'm feeling a little bit better, I look at the passenger sitting to my right and I said, aren't you glad I didn't puke on you? It was just so embarrassing. I was so
mortified.
Humbled. Honey, I know. And then all of first class, of course, smelled for the next hour and a half.
Suzanne.
I know. And
that is Suzanne speaking. It wasn't here.
Oh, Suzanne.
But you
poor
know what?
Thing. I'm sorry.
Thank you. What I realize is I am just not wilderness woman.
That is
nothing to do with wilderness.
First just the whole idea of
but
going.
The whole, I'm not a good traveler.
Yes, you are. I've traveled with you before.
Yes,
you're wonderful.
Well, thank you.
You just got some
class?
Kind of viral
Hang
thing.
On. Were you in first class?
No. Maybe you're allergic to first class. You were in first class.
No.
I'm
going to hex you. So anyway, so that is my travel story.
So did this woman ever apologize for being ridiculous?
She, no, she was still ragging my butt. And then as they deplaned, okay, you guys, here's another confession. You guys know that. My sensitive side. So here I am feeling like crap. I have stuff all over me because you can't completely clean it up. And now it's down the seat back. It's in the car. So she's getting off the airplane, but she's passing my seat and her cute boy is there. And I was able to pull out a $50 bill out of my wallet because, we have larger bills since we're traveling. And I said, please accept this. I am so sorry. Please allow me to purchase a new shirt for you.
That's good. That was a good.
Yeah.
That's
whoa,
good.
I wouldn't have done that.
That's excellent.
Done
that I'm going to next time I barf on somebody.
I wouldn't have had a $50.
And if I did, I can't give it up.
What are the chances I'll ever see you again? No, that's a good thing.
I was trying to be gracious.
No, that's right. Good.
She would not even look at me. She was so
Honey,
furious.
That's her issue.
That's right.
That's her issue.
Did he accept it?
No, the boy is like, no, thank you, ma'am. I can't accept it. Aww. And when she started ragging me, he even turned to her and he goes, Mom, stop.
Yeah.
So I thought this is probably a pattern for her that she's overbearing him. So that is my story. But she didn't even look at me.
Next time you hand her your card and you say, here, if you need someone to talk to about your hostility.
About your anger and hostility.
Don't worry. The karma train comes around.
The karma train. I know. And it was just so, it was just such a bizarre bizarre experience.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Not to.
Oh, wait. Can I? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Can I just? I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. I just had a vomit story, too.
Okay.
Oh, it's like dealing with children. Oh, I vomited, too. Let me tell you my vomit story.
Vomit story is going to be better than yours.
What, Suzanne?
In my typical Suzanne fashion, because I was so tired and just felt so bad. I felt bad emotionally and I felt really bad physically.
Sure.
I started to cry.
Oh, honey.
I know, because she didn't accept my money. And I thought, it's the only thing I can do as a gesture. And it would have made me feel so much better if she would have at least accepted that. I mean, really, for me, that would have been better.
Honey, I'll take your 50.
Yeah, give me that 50.
Yeah, but you have to let me vomit on you first.
I will take you. Give that $50.
So anyway, that's my story.
No, I just had, I was at school when I was getting my master's, and I opened the women's restroom and to receive projectile vomit.
No.
When on this? You?
Yes.
Oh,
I was like, I'm sorry to laugh. I tend to laugh at inappropriate.
I opened
I'm right
the door.
There with you.
I mean, it got on the front of my shirt and my pants, and this poor guy, and I felt so sorry.
How
old was the person?
Well, she was a college student.
That's awful.
And she's like, I'm so sorry. I was like, it's okay.
What am I going
to
do
now? So I shut the door and I went to another bathroom to clean off because, quite frankly, I just didn't want to
walk around with that.
I didn't want to step in and I didn't want to, be in a target zone again.
A target. I'm out of here.
A bullseye.
But that just happens.
But
she didn't give me $50. She didn't
offer me 50 cents. If you were really mean, maybe she would have.
Yeah, you should have been mean to her. Okay, I'm having a hard time swallowing. Can we change the subject?
Okay.
Yes.
Amy, how was your week?
Oh, I don't have anything exciting like that talk about.
Okay.
I just,
Well, we missed you. I'm glad you did that on an airplane and not in the Diva Den. It would not have worked for me.
That's true.
Yeah.
And
me too.
I wouldn't have been mean, but I would have been grossed out.
Oh, the sailing. We were on a 67-foot schooner, and it had formerly been owned by General George Patton.
Wow.
Did she say roughing it? Did she say she doesn't? She was on a yacht.
I only got two showers.
Listen, for Suzanne.
Did you have to scrub the deck or anything like that, Suzanne?
No, but I made a few meals. I cooked.
Roughing it is the masseuse and pedicurist are not on board.
Okay. See?
She was the cook. She didn't have a cook.
We were chefless, and I cooked in the little galley. And it's amazing to me how complicated it was. And with a swinging stove, the whole stove goes, I have never witnessed that before.
That's
pretty
exciting.
I'm supposed to cook on this. It's moving.
I can't even picture what you're talking about.
Huh. Yeah, it swings. It's like on hook arms and it just, the stove swings. I turned out a rack of lamb one night.
Oh, man.
I can't even cook a rack of lamb at home. Yeah. I don't think. I've never tried.
No swinging.
Well, in New Zealand, the lamb is very prevalent, it's very, very delicious. And although you can tell your sheep story.
No, I don't want to tell my sheep story.
Okay, you don't have to go there.
Sorry.
This is going downhill fast.
Okay. Well, we have a guest speaker with us today, Brenda Sharman here from Pure Fashion, and she's going to join us. Brenda? Back to you.
Now that we just talked about vomit, she's gonna die. Is she gonna die?
She's a mom.
Okay.
I would say so.
Brenda, I know I cannot do you justice, so can you take a few minutes and tell us about yourself?
Sure. I actually work as the National Director for Pure Fashion, which is a program that is right now in the United States as well as spreading overseas. And it's a program for teen girls that encourages the virtues of modesty and purity in particular. In addition to that, I am a married woman with two children, one on the way. And I've been in the modeling, acting, and spokesperson industry for the last 22 years. So I'm well aware of the fashion industry and what's going on, what's in style, what the trends are. And that has led me to want to be involved with a program such as Pure Fashion, because I just see how the fashion industry can affect a culture. And I think that right now there are some less than positive trends going on in the fashion industry, specifically for teen girls.
I just was wondering, with your experience, were you a model in your teen years?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I actually started modeling when I was in high school. I began on the Rich's Teen Board. I began doing fashion shows and special events for the junior department. And then after graduation from high school, my career just evolved, and I've been working full-time ever since.
Wow. Can you give us a little bit of insight on what that industry is like? And because I'm sensing that you're looking to make a change, obviously. So what kind of things did you encounter as a model?
Well, I can remember modeling as a teenager, and I remember that there was always an emphasis that, you know, the junior models should be youthful and fun and playful and very happy. And nowadays, it's almost turned around where the young girls are expected to look a lot more sexy. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's one of the changes in the industry. And the clothes and the attitudes nowadays that are projected in the advertising are just a lot more sexually provocative than what they used to be. And I think that that is also displayed in our culture in other ways, you know, through the types of music and the magazines, the media overall. You know, just what kids are watching in the movies, it's just a lot more explicit. So there's definitely a difference. You know, praise God that right now I'm, you know, a woman in my late 30s and I'm not being asked to do the same types of jobs that a young 20-year-old girl would be asked
to do. Can you give us a sense, Brenda, like how would that be different? Like what would you have been asked to do at 20 and now that you're in your 30s, what would be the difference?
Well, a lot of the, you know, a young woman in her 20s as a model is expected to be a lot more hot and sexy. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, low-cut jeans, bare midriff, bikini swimsuits. Mm-hmm. When a woman gets to a certain age as a professional model, they'll stop asking you to do that and start asking you to be more of a corporate woman, a mommy. You know, a month ago, I shot for a pregnancy and newborn magazine as a mom, and I love doing that stuff. It's very innocent, very clean, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just depends. As a young girl, but in the modeling industry, you really are expected to be able to do the stuff that's just very sexual.
Brenda, do you remember when we were younger? I mean, I'm older than you, but when Playtex bras, they had to wear a turtleneck underneath the bra on the commercials. And now, like, you turn on the Victoria's Secret commercials, and it's like, I mean, I always feel bad for adolescent boys. I'm glad I don't have one because I don't know how they sit there with their mom in the same room. It's, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really is.
I know. I mean, it used to be that you couldn't show a TV commercial, like one of the Victoria's Secret commercials.
Right.
I was glad the other night I was in the room with my 14-year-old son, and he was on the website picking like the basketball stuff, looking at all that. And there's a Victoria's Secret commercial. And that boy never turned his head toward the TV. So I was pretty impressed.
I knew he's still not interested in that stuff yet.
Basketball is still of more interest to him.
Good.
So that was the good news there.
Also, can you speak to the weight issues that they're talking about now? Did you encounter that when you were younger in modeling?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a certain standard in modeling. And the bottom line is that designers have samples that they mail around the country for girls to model in fashion shows in particular. And they make the samples a certain size. And it's like a basic set of clothes that gets shipped around the country. So girls either have to fit those samples or they can't wear them. So typically the sample sizes are anywhere from a 2, a 4, or a 6 because, you know, when clothes are shown on the runway, typically they look nice when they're modeled on a tall woman who's thin, it just looks tall and lean and graceful. And, you know, in the past few years, there's been even more of an emphasis, you know, make her even more thin, like a 0 and a 2. And now I know some girls are very naturally made that way because I know them personally. I see them eat and they're, you know, they're happy and they're healthy and they're just skinny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then other girls try to make themselves fit into that mold, and sometimes that can be dangerous. And it depends on what market you're in and who you're modeling for. I always like to say that there's like a major league in modeling, and then there's the minor league. Now, I've never been in the major leagues. I've never been, you know, on the cover of Vogue or the cover of, you know, Bazaar or Cosmopolitan or on the cover of Sports Illustrated or anything like that. That's for the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a totally different standard, and I think that's where a lot of the misconceptions or false ideas of the modeling industry can come from that very small select group, because underneath that, the minor leagues of modeling are just like all the local models and actors and commercial actresses who work in TV commercials and things like that. You know, your local ads in the newspaper where you don't really know the girl's name. She's not famous, but she's still, you know, a model in the newspaper. So that's probably like the minor league girl. And that's a pretty clean industry overall.
That's nice to know. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Even.
Okay, Brenda, tell us a little bit about how you came upon Pure Fashion and how it originated.
Okay. Well, Pure Fashion actually began in 99. There was a Catholic girls youth organization called Challenge Girls Club that started putting together modesty fashion shows. And the word kind of spread around the country through Challenge Club. So the shows started simultaneously in different cities. And they started very small. And typically, you know, it might be 100 people in the basement of a church with moms and girls, you know, with their own tea set, having a tea party and showing modest dresses of their own out of their own closets. And then over the years, years, the idea really caught on, and people saw that there was an interest in this, and the shows just started growing and growing and growing until in 2005 in Atlanta when I came on board. The year prior, we had about 500 people at a fashion show, our show, here in Atlanta. And then in 2005 when I came on board, we ended up having about 1,200 people. And then in 2006, there were 2,200 people.
Wow.
At the Georgia World Congress Center, which is the largest ballroom in Atlanta. So this year, on April 15th, in Atlanta, we are actually offering two shows in the same day at the Georgia World Congress Center. So we're expecting to have probably 3,000 to 3,600 people able to see the show, which just really is such a testimony to, I think, you know, women are craving this for their daughters. They really want their daughters to see and to hear that there's an alternative to these provocative fashions that are being offered in the malls.
Well, it's funny because I have a 12-year-old daughter. And about, two or three years ago, she was getting up as far as sizes. And I just can remember going to the teen section, still under size 16, and amazed at the kind of things they expected 10, 11, and 12-year-olds to wear.
Right.
They were just smaller versions of the junior department. Mm-hmm. And even that was so I was just...
You're like 22-year-olds.
Exactly.
And, yeah,
and it was just... Anyway, so we were able to find things that weren't so revealing. But the whole concept, when I heard of it, I was just, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
There is something out there for these girls to look to and understand. And
yes, actually, I think that our young girls are being heavily influenced sometimes by even the dolls that they're playing with nowadays. Like when you really take a look at the Bratz dolls,
oh, gosh.
You know, and some of the Barbies and the things like that are out there, and you stand back and you look at what those little toys are looking like, sometimes you wonder, wow, if that's our idea of beauty and that's what we're giving to our young girls to form their hearts and their minds from a young age as to what being pretty is all about, then it's not going to be a mystery that they grow up and want to dress that way. And, you know, when you think back about, you know, 30, 40 years ago, when girls would envision like a fantasy beauty doll, maybe Snow White or Cinderella, they were always a certain sense of beauty about them, but they were always fully clothed.
Mm-hmm. And graceful.
It was much more modest.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But when you just, you know, walk through the aisles of a Toys R Us and take a good hard look at the Bratz dolls, it's a pretty scary thought that, you know, what we're buying our little girls.
It's almost like desensitizing them for, you know, the future.
And it's almost like class has just gone out the door. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing anymore.
Don't you think, though? I mean, look at the American Girl dolls now, and what a big
following
and following that they have now. And that's probably plays a big role, is, you know, because people are just wanting to that type of influence in their children's lives because it's not readily available.
That's right. They want that alternative. And, you know, an American Girl has done very well with their dolls, and they do encourage virtue, and they try to foster that sense of, you know, a young woman's worth is based more on how she behaves and who she is and how she changes the world around her, you know, as opposed to how she looks or how hot and sexy she looks or what she's wearing.
Brenda, can you speak about the whole program in general? Like, I have a daughter who is currently 13, and she has wanted to model the last couple of years, and I have had the concerns that you've talked about, and just recently looked into your website and the whole program that you have, and so it's not really just about image, it's about, like you were saying, how you carry yourself and how you present yourself and how you want, you know, the whole intent of making a difference in the world. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah, I think that a lot of young girls nowadays have the idea that they want to be a model because they're attracted to the excitement, the glamour, the attention, you know, just the confirmation even that they're pretty if their photograph is in the newspaper or magazine. But I think that sometimes they might not have a full understanding of getting into the modeling business is a business. And typically, a young girl is really attracted to the glamour and the excitement and the attention part of it, and not necessarily that she wants to start a business for herself.
Right.
I think that also what young girls and mothers have to really discuss and determine is, number one, if the mother has the time to take on a business, because it would become a business for the mom. She would be the one to, you know, take the daughter around the city, to go to castings, meet the agents, take the photographs, the whole thing. And there is initial investment that's required to start that business of getting into modeling. So I typically tell mothers and girls to not take it lightly and that they're going to have to put a lot of time into it. And some girls have maybe a false impression thinking, oh, well, isn't it something I could just do in the summertime? And they just think it might be easy to just have their picture taken a couple times in the summer, put in the Sunday paper, and that would be really fun and cute, but it doesn't happen like that. Mm-hmm. It's hard, it's competitive, put a lot of time and money into it to get started. But even apart from that, nowadays I really try to let the mothers know that for their daughter to get into the modeling industry, what the girl would be doing is modeling the current fashions that are for sale. She would be showing the styles that are in the stores. And if she shows up at a photo shoot for a local department store and they have, you know, little string bikinis to sell in the summertime, that's what they're going to want to take her picture in to put in the paper. So, you know, if the mother and the daughter have discussed it and they're willing to go there, then that's one thing. But I also don't really encourage it so much nowadays for teen girls, because what's in fashion right now is not really in keeping with the message and the mission of Pure Fashion. I caution young girls who come up to me and are interested in entering the business. If she's interested in doing TV commercials or things like that, or acting on stage in plays or something like that, then that's different.
But as far as Pure Fashion, am I correct? It's sort of a program that you have that girls can get into. Isn't that what I read on the website?
Yeah, it's Pure Fashion is basically a character formation program that forms the girls and helps them to develop into young ladies who have a lot of confidence, style, grace, poise, the knowledge of how to present themselves as best they can, you know, with their hair and their makeup and that type of thing. And then the program culminates in a fashion show. So the fashion show is a big part of it, and the girls love it and have a really good time, but it's not really the whole point of the Pure Fashion program. The program is really designed to touch the girls' heart and their minds, to encourage that deeper respect for virtue and for the lasting beauty that you can't buy in a bottle or that. So if a young woman wants to get into the modeling business, I wouldn't say that Pure Fashion would be the vehicle for that per se. That Pure Fashion offers a lot of the same training that girls used to be given through either Charm School or Cotillion, or even the kind of training that a young girl receives when she's preparing for a pageant. And I used to be Miss Georgia USA in 1990, and I really enjoyed the pageant preparation that goes into preparing for a pageant, although nowadays I don't train girls to do that because I don't think that pageants are really encouraging the virtue of modesty either. But I think that the training is really important and it's very valuable. Right. So I like to tell the girls nowadays that when they go through Pure Fashion and they learn how to have great speaking skills, they learn how to have wonderful poise and to do their hair and makeup to the best of their ability, that they'll look great one day when they walk up and accept the Nobel Peace Prize.
There you go. Oh,
I love that. Yeah.
So one day when they're a senator, they'll be very powerful and very effective in how they communicate, how they present themselves. But it's more than just, you know, trying to look cute in a pageant or in a fashion show. But it's a lot of the same wonderful training that we all really like to have as women, and mothers want that for their daughters too. So it's pageant training without the pageant, and modeling school without having to become a model.
I got it. So is it a competitive program for the girls to get into, or how do you determine which girls get into the program?
What we do is just look at their applications online. It's all done online. They apply and fill out different questions, and we don't ask for a photograph or anything in particular, but we try to look for girls from all different areas of the city, from different schools, different churches, representing the different communities. Any girl who was like a senior or a junior, we gave kind of top priority to, because we knew that she'd be graduating and that would be our last chance to meet her. But it was hard. You know, we're really choosing them sight unseen, and we just really tried to get a good feel for who they are. And so we hope that we picked the right group of girls. But this year we have 80 in the program, and they really are great. We've got really wonderful young women in there.
That's great.
How long is the program?
The Pure Fashion program typically lasts about 7 to 8 months, depending upon the city. Depending upon where a young woman lives, the program is going to vary from city to city, because there's different people involved. A lot of it is dependent upon the persons who are implementing the program in a city, like what connections they have or who comes forward as to how much they can help or volunteer, because it's all dependent upon volunteers. It's a nonprofit organization.
That's great.
So some cities are very detailed and they have an 8-month program and offer all of our training sessions from manners and social graces. We have a tea at the Ritz, which is lovely, and different speakers come in and offer their time and their expertise to teach that. And then we have a hair and makeup day in several cities. We've had wonderful help from fabulous salons who have opened their doors to the Pure Fashion program, given the girls free haircut, free color, makeovers, photographs, headshots, the whole thing. And then other cities are still looking for that special salon
that
to work
support.
With. You know. Yeah, and then some cities have weekend retreats. Others just have one-day retreat. We have public speaking skills training sessions, and it just depends on the city as to who's able to be involved.
I think I want to sign up.
Yeah, really. I'm going to have 46. Yeah,
for the mamas.
For mom's day out.
Yeah. But it is fun for the moms, too, to do something like this with the daughters, because typically the moms are kind of standing in the background saying, I want to do this.
Right.
They're
that's
listening, you know, intently to all the conversations.
Hey, Brenda, do you have any funny stories you can share with us?
You know, one of the most fun moments we've had this year was at our weekend retreat. We did a project runway with the girls. And all the girls were divided into teams of 5 to 7 girls on a team. And they were given a sack of material, a glue gun, safety pins, and a stapler.
Oh.
And then they had 30 minutes to go make
a modest
prom gown.
Oh, cute.
Oh, cute.
It was so amazing. The girls were so creative. It was just, we had the best time watching them. And the designs were excellent. They were beautiful. They made these gorgeous dresses and modest ones, too, out of nothing but square pieces of fabric, glue guns, and safety pins.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It was
Brenda,
fun.
Some of our listeners, I'm sure all of them will want to learn more about Pure Fashion. Tell us how they can reach the program.
Okay. Everything is on www.purefashion.com. And if you can just click on the first page where it says find a program near you. And then I hope that everybody who clicks on is able to find a program in their city. But right now we have the Pure Fashion program offered in 15 cities in the U.S. are having shows this spring. So even though most of the cities are closed for the model applications for the next month or two, maybe the interested people can attend one of the fashion shows close by. And then after the fashion show, they can apply online to be considered for the program for next year.
Okay, great. And if there's someone out there who could lend some of their expertise to the program, that's a good way for them to get in touch as well. Is that correct?
That would be great. And it really does take all the divas around the country to step up and offer their time and their talent and, you know, to really kind of join hands for our young women and to help out wherever they can. That would be great.
All the divas in training.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Brenda, is there any last thoughts you might have?
Is there anything we're missing?
Well, I think that it's just important for women to remember that they were, you know, created to be a treasure and not a toy.
Aw, that's
so
good.
Oh, that's
yes.
Nice.
Yeah, so they just have to learn how to live and act and dress in accordance with their dignity and not succumb to the pressures of fashion or the media to try to look a certain way to get attention or to be accepted, but to really remember their sense of dignity.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, just to add to that is, if they don't think highly of themselves, then others won't either.
Right.
That's right. Right. And how they consider themselves or regard their own personal worth should never be dependent upon their external appearance. I mean, if God gave them the gift of external beauty, and then that's great. But women are given many different gifts, mm-hmm. whether it's a beautiful singing voice or a wonderful, generous heart where she's just, you know, filled with charity and love and kindness for people around the community in another way. There are lots of different things mm-hmm. and different ways that women can be valuable or use their gifts and their talents. And we are not all created to look like a Barbie doll or a supermodel. And that's okay. And one thing that girls have to remember is that even if they did look like a Barbie doll while they were in their 20s, guess what? They're not going to.
We've been there, done that, Brenda.
Right.
You know?
Right. You're right.
Even if you have that window of time where that's your gift, you're going to have a lot of other windows of time where you better find another one.
and the other message there is you could be the most beautiful person around. It still doesn't guarantee you happiness.
No. Right. Yeah.
So that's not what it's about. Okay, again, that's www.purefashion.com that anyone can go and visit and learn more about Pure Fashion. Brenda, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Thank you,
Diva
Cast. Ladies. Thank you.
And congratulations on your pregnancy.
Oh, yes.
So exciting.
And hopefully some of us will see you April 15th.
That would be wonderful.
Please do come up and say hello after the show.
Okay.
Brenda, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, ladies.
We appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What can happen to your dreams if you follow the mainstream?
Okay, you guys, we are more than halfway there to our goal of 50 iTunes reviews by our 50th show, but we need some help. But I wanted to say a special thank you to Kimmer62, who says, your show is like a hug from my own friends. I run to my computer when I get home to see if there is a new podcast. This is the new waiting for the mail or that call from your best friend. Hearing how y'all interact has given me insight into into my friendship with my five fun, fabulous 40-something friends, and I laugh out loud at your exploits. You are such great storytellers.
That's
Suzanne,
lovely.
You're a good storyteller.
Does it say we love Sharon?
Haven't seen that yet. Somebody do a review for us that says, I love Sharon.
Thank you. Mom, and, if you're listening.
And it not only helps us rank on iTunes, but it gets us new sponsors because they see that people actually like us. Do you want to tell the listeners about
yes,
our new sponsor?
It's very exciting. We have a new sponsor.
Yeah. Who is it?
Oh, we are actually, our new sponsor is
ta-da,
the envelope,
ta-da.
Please.
The Leapster Learning Game System by LeapFrog. It's very exciting. And this is really, y'all, this is a great game. If you have kids anywhere from ages 3 to 4, all the way up to second and third grade, fourth grade.
Yeah,
it's a
this
wonderful
goes up to fourth grade.
It's and a it's, wonderful toy.
It's great because it's just interactive.
I have to have Julie talk about it because I know her kids had them.
It's an interactive screen and it helps them write and draw and paint and just use their imagination. It's very enchanting.
Excellent.
By the way, speaking of sponsors, I was talking to my sister on the phone the other day. And she's in North Carolina. She was commuting on her way to work while I was commuting on my way to work. And so I said, did you know that we had, at that time, we had three sponsors? And she goes, you do? I didn't know that. So she goes, who are they? And I said, well, it's Splenda with the flavor blends. It's Folgers. And I said, Marie Claire. And I didn't say the masthead, but she goes, oh, she says, so you get free pot pies now? And I was just like,
Marie Callender.
What? And that's what she thought. Instead of Marie Claire, she thought I was saying Marie Callender. But
that's funny.
Bless her heart. We like Marie Claire better than pot pies. And we're very excited to.
Not that I don't like no pot pies.
But isn't that funny? And by the way, the masthead is going to be having a show out on the 18th, or it's coming up, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day.
A new one.
Aye, St. Patrick's Day.
The 17th is St. Patrick's Day.
It'll
Goofball.
Be the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Anyway.
Excellent.
This is why I'm always late. I just can't get my dates
I'm
straight.
With you, sister. I am with you.
Hey, let us buy you a cup of coffee. Go to Folgers.com/podshow and get a free sample. They're offering it if you mention the divas. Mention my name, Sharon.
She's trying to break away and take
the Sharon Show.
The Sharon Show.
That has a ring to it, doesn't
you can,
it?
You can select a different choice, though, on
yes,
there,
it's
too.
The gourmet, it's the gourmet blends. And we really want to hear from you. Email us at diva@thedivacast.com. Call us. We're always waiting by the phone, 678-884-0524. And join us on the forum.
Come to the forum. Please come
to the forum.
Seriously.
We're begging you.
Join us.
Because
hey, Robin, do we have any voicemails at all?
No voicemails?
We need
Well, it's because we were on vacation and everybody knew it.
Yes,
oh, okay. That's
go.
It. Okay.
All right.
Well,
Mom, if you're listening, call and leave us a voicemail.
Okay, guys, I got to go.
All right. Thanks, as always, to Natalie Brown for I Am the Queen of Me, our opening music. You guys can still get a free download of her song if you go to the website. And we're closing now with a new song called Fast Jazz. It's by Larry Sayer.
So we're buying him coffee and music.
That's right. Free music,
free coffee, babe.
We are the ones.
Yes.
Come on.
We are hot.
Bye, everybody.
Give.
Come
to
bye.
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 The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.